I thank you for being here in this holy place, Shrimayapur Dham. It is certainly a great fulfillment of one of the dreams of Srila Prabhupada, who carried within his heart the dream of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, which had its origin in the will as well as the prediction of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Paramakaruna pahundui jana nitai gora chandra. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are most merciful. Krishna and Balaram and Krishna, who is tasting and distributing the love of Sri Radha, they are propagating the most simple and direct method by which even the fallen souls of this Kali Yuga can awaken within their hearts the treasure of pure love of God, of the quality of the residents of Vrindavan in the spiritual world. They inaugurated this mission of supreme love and mercy in Shrimayapur Dham. And it was the dream of our acharyas that devotees, with great faith in the mercy of Gaur Nitai, from every continent on the earth, all races, all nationalities, all castes, all creeds, people from all sorts of different religious backgrounds, they would gather here in Shrimayapur to hear the glories of Lord Chaitanya, to pray for his mercy, to raise their arms high in the air, and together, as brothers and sisters, chant the holy names. Even in the early 1970s, Srila Prabhupada personally arranged for Gaur Purnima festival and put great emphasis that devotees from all centers all over the world come here to celebrate. At that time, very austere circumstances. The only building, this lotus building, was just under construction. But still, Srila Prabhupada considered it so important to focus devotees' attention on Shrimayapur Dham. And he went through great efforts, endured much opposition to acquire this land for you and me. Ever since that time, every year, devotees from all over this planet have come to celebrate Gaur Purnima. And now, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. There are thousands and thousands and thousands, and some more even, devotees from all over the world who have come here to Sri Mayapur Dham, and it isn't even Gaur Purnima. And when, oh, when will that day come when every day of the year tens and thousands of people from all over the world will be coming to worship Sri Sri Radha Madhava and Panchatattva in Prabhupada's intimate place of worship, Sri Mayapur Dham. Yesterday we were discussing the Sankirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur. That is a very deep subject. In fact, it is an endless subject. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur, although they are directly and specifically empowered by Lord Nityananda Prabhu to speak the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu to the whole world, they very humbly admit their inability to do so. Vrindavan Das Thakur said, just as a little bird flies in the sky, how high and wide is the sky? How much can a little bird cover the endless sky? But still, it tries its best. In the same way, whatever we speak about the Lord, all we could do is try our best, because the glories of the Lord are endless. Even if Ananta Shesha, with his many, many mouths, were to glorify the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the entire span of the duration of creation, he could not fully describe what Lord Chaitanya did in 1 minute. Hare Krishna. Even if Lord Ganapati, Ganesh, who was a very expert scribe at writing scriptures, even if he were to write for the entire day of Brahma, nonstop, not even stopping to sleep or eat, with all the volumes and volumes of literature he creates, he could not sufficiently describe what Lord Chaitanya had done here in Mayapur in even a moment. Now you may say, or you may think, this is very fanciful, poetic language. But how could we believe this? How could we not believe this? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. The life of Brahma is 311 trillion years. To Mahavishnu, Karuna Dakshayi, the life of Brahma is 1 nimesh. You all know what nimesh means. It means the amount of time when you unintentionally blink your eye. The amount of time that the lower eyelid and upper eyelid touch, that's nimesh. It is approximately 5/18 of a second. Hare Krishna. That's what the life of Brahma is to Mahavishnu. And who is Mahavishnu? An expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could put hundreds of billions of people on a small island called Dwarka. No traffic jams. Not even a need for high-rise buildings. We read about Dwarka. Parks, beautiful roads, wonderful forests and trees. Krishna can do anything. He's seated in and between every atom. The miracles of God are everywhere. Now, sometimes there's a shortage of water. So big trucks come to bring water to a place. One of my friends who lives in California. I'll get to Srivasangam in a second, I'm sorry. Now we're in Malibu Beach, California. There were big, big forest fires just a few weeks ago. Very wealthy place. To live in Malibu Beach is very prestigious. It's like Beverly Hills, except it's quieter. And here is a beautiful mansion right on the Pacific Ocean worth tens of millions of dollars. Next door is famous Hollywood movie stars and television stars, big, big famous musicians from the rock and roll eras. And they go out in their decks and watch the dolphins in the ocean, and I don't know what else they do. But massive flames. And the fire trucks, they were bringing just tanks and tanks and tanks of water, battling and battling and battling these flames, and everyone had to evacuate. And these big movie stars were living in gymnasiums. Or asking a friend if they could stay on the floor, or whatever they had to do. Blazing forest fire. So water is very difficult, very heavy. But Krishna, what a miracle. One cloud contains so many hundreds and billions of gallons of water that one cloud can totally flood an entire city. A couple years ago in Bombay, how many inches of water in one day? It's about 20 inches of water in one day. All over the city, massive flood, one cloud, so much water. And yet all that water in that cloud is so light. It's lighter than air. It's floating. Can any man do that? Transport 100 billion gallons of water? Make it so light that just a wind can take it anywhere you want? That is God. So when the Lord performs unbelievable, inconceivable pastimes, when he personally appears in his original forms, we should not have the slightest hesitation to believe them. We should simply be happy to see Krishna doing what no one else can do, doing what is beyond the intelligence to fathom. If he doesn't do things like that, what's the use of his being God? We could do things. Why should he do things a little better than us? A jiva is 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair, an infinitesimal part and parcel. How can we compare the supreme cause of all causes to what we can do? That is intelligence. To have faith in the inconceivable potencies of the Absolute Truth. One day, Sri Advaitacharya was at Sri Vasangam. He entered into the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. Now someone may ask, he's Mahavishnu. What's Mahavishnu doing with the gopis' mood in Vrindavan? He's not just Mahavishnu. He's Mahavishnu, but he's more than Mahavishnu. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the incarnations that may have come to help him in his pastimes, he drowned them all in the nectar of the ras of Vrindavan. Advaitacharya was completely immersed in the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And that day, feeling a separation of the gopis awakening in his heart, he was rolling in the ground and crying and dancing uncontrollably for 3 hours. Somehow or other, Srivas Thakur and his brothers, they were dancing with him. But they were so tired. They couldn't keep up with Advaitacharya. And he was a very old man too. So they somehow or other pacified him. And they were exhausted. And you know, after long, long, long kirtan, you like to take bath in Ganga. So Advaita Prabhu, they said, you just be peaceful. We'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to Ganga to take our bath. But as soon as they left, again, this bhava of the gopis stirred in his heart. Lord Chaitanya was at home in the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi. But he always knows the hearts of his devotees. He understood Advaita's plight. So he came right to Sri Vasangam. And he said, Advaita Prabhu, please tell me, what do you want? Advaita Prabhu said, I am seeing you. That's what I wanted. He said, well, I want to do something for you. Tell me how I can serve you. He said, what else can I ask for? What I prayed for, what I performed austerities for, it has all been fulfilled because now you are standing here before me. The Lord said, yes, I am standing before you, but I want to fulfill a desire that you have in your heart. Sri Advaita Prabhu said, yes. If you want to fulfill a desire, I want to see that form of yours that you revealed to Arjuna in Kurukshetra. Suddenly, the whole scene of Sri Vasangam to Advaita's eyes became Kurukshetra. He saw millions of soldiers, foot soldiers, chariot soldiers, soldiers on elephants, carrying weapons and arms. Some were dressed with crowns and jewels, with bows, with arrows, with clubs, with javelins, all roaring, ready for war. And between the two armies, he saw a chariot. And on that chariot was Krishna, holding the reins of the horses for Arjuna. Then Krishna manifested a four-armed form, holding a conch shell, lotus flower, club, and chakra. And then right before his eyes, he saw the Virat Rupa, the universal form. There were millions of heads, millions of mouths, millions of arms, millions of legs. He saw the sun, the moon, the sky, all the planets, all the stars of creation. He saw flames pouring out of these millions of mouths, and people who were harsh and cruel or blasphemous to others being devoured by these mouths like mosquitoes. In all directions, there was nothing but this form. And he saw Arjuna with folded palms offering prayers. Advaitacharya was in ecstasy. With folded palms, he started offering prayers. While he was seeing this glorious, glorious universal form, right here in Navadvip, Nityananda Prabhu happened to be roaming around the town like he usually would. And in his heart, he knew exactly what was happening. He thought, just now, at Srivas's house, my Lord is revealing his universal form. I will go to see. He ran to the house of Srivas, knocked on the door. Now, how is this? The whole universal form was manifested in Srivas's house. All the millions of soldiers, the whole Kurukshetra, everything was there in Srivas's house. Now, you may say impossible, but a devotee will say it's impossible for him not to be able to do that. Krishna's a controller of all controllers. He knocked on the door, and Lord Chaitanya, in the form of the universal form, opened the door for him. He had millions of arms. He just opened the door. And Lord Nityananda came in. He offered prayers, and Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, ecstatic, they just started dancing and chanting and dancing and stanching, and then Lord Chaitanya started dancing and chanting. It doesn't say whether he turned back into Lord Chaitanya or whether may have been the universal form dancing and chanting. Advaita Prabhu, you have fulfilled all my desires. Then Lord Chaitanya became his transcendentally normal form again and left. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu just embraced, weeping and crying to see the opulences of the Lord. Now in those days, as it has been described, Lord Chaitanya was only allowing his most intimate, pure-hearted associates to take part in those kirtans. He hadn't yet established public kirtan. All the Nam Sankirtan going on at that time was behind locked doors. And many people wanted to get in there. The townspeople wanted to get in because they loved Lord Chaitanya. They were thinking, if we could only get in there once and see the beautiful dance of Gauranga, our lives would be perfect. And they prayed for the opportunity. When will I have a pure heart to be qualified to enter? But in this world, there will always be innocent people, and there will always be envious people. The envious people could not tolerate that they were not allowed in, especially learned Brahmins, who noted so many scriptures, had so many students, maybe even many, many disciples. I want to go in. On the order of Lord Chaitanya, Srivas had to say, I'm sorry, you're not allowed. How would you like to be in that position? These Bhattacharyas, Chakravartis, Mishras, many powerful, powerful scholars, Brahmins, with all kinds of powers. Say, I want to go in and see this kirtan. I want to participate. I have so many qualifications. Srivas, I'm sorry. You're not qualified. So many people hated him. But it was the Lord's will. And this is historical. Anyone who follows the Lord's will be loved by many and hated by others. It's the way the world has always been. So one such person, Gopal Chapala, he was very learned, very handsome, charismatic. He was successful in every way. He could not tolerate. They will not allow me in. That means they're dacoits. And he and the others were spreading nasty rumors that the reason they won't let us in is because during the day they're recruiting beautiful young virgin girls. They take them in, lock them in, fill them with intoxicating liquors and other types of drugs, have wild sexual orgies and corrupt them. That's what they're doing. That's why they close the doors. They will not let me in because they know I am an upright, pious, and saintly person. Hare Krishna. That's what they were saying. Can you imagine if those Brahmins, like Gopal Chapala, had access to internet? They were spreading it throughout Navadvip. But they would have all sorts of websites spreading it all over the world against Srivast Thakur, against Lord Chaitanya. And they just manufactured so many horrible lies. So since he didn't have internet, he did what would be effective in those days to discredit Srivast forever from anyone's sympathy. Prabhupada said, the only thing a preacher has is his or her reputation. Because if people don't have faith in you, you can't help them. So if you destroy a preacher's reputation, the preacher can't help anybody. And that's all his or her life is supposed to do, is help others. So Gopal Chapala wanted to destroy the reputation of Srivas. So one night, he put the paraphernalia for the type of tantric worship that those perform who are in the modes of ignorance. Wine, blood, flesh, all these other things, vermilion and other mystical types of ingredients, to worship goddess Durga, according to the black tantrics. So his idea, when people wake up in the morning and they see it, they'll understand Srivas, he pretends to be a Vaishnav, but he's just an ignorant black tantric. It would spoil the reputation of Srivas and everybody associated with him, including Lord Chaitanya. Now Srivas Thakur was so humble, because you see, they would chant all night long. They wouldn't sleep. So Srivas was the first person up in the morning. So he went outside before anyone else and he saw what was done in front of his house. Now most of us would have just tried to hide it or deny it. But Srivas Thakur called all the townspeople and said, you should know what I actually do at night. This is what I do. That's all he said. He claimed he was doing it all. Now the envious people, they believed him. But 99.9%, almost everybody else, they absolutely were horrified. Who has done this blasphemy to you? And he only gained more respect. They cleaned his whole courtyard. They washed it with cow dung and cow urine and vast quantities of Ganges water. Those people who had any piety would not believe this blasphemy. Immediately, Gopal Chapala contracted leprosy. Now, in those days, leprosy, it's contagious. Very painful. Your fingers melt away. Your toes melt away. Your nose melts away. Your flesh just shrivels and deteriorates. Your organs inside and out. Advanced state of, he immediately got advanced last stages of leprosy in one day. And he was banished out of the town. He had to live alone in total poverty on the bank of the Ganges in an isolated place where nobody else would come near him. Now, one may ask, so many people today blaspheme devotees. Why don't they get leprosy? What's happening? You see, when the Lord is personally present, he makes everything happen immediately. Yes? Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip, there was a washerman. He was a malecha. He was a yavana and a malecha. He used to just wash clothes. And sometimes he even washed some clothes for Srivas. One day, he just happened to see Lord Chaitanya. To see him. And just by that darsha on the street, he cried out, "I have seen!" And tears poured from his eyes, his hair stood on end, he fell unconscious, he got up, and he was intoxicated with ecstatic love of God. He achieved the perfection of life. Now, you know, some of us are malechas, some of you are Brahmins, coming from very nice, pious Hindu families. And you've been chanting and following four regulative principles and doing pujas and doing mantras and tantras and yantras and pujas and mudras and all these other things for 30, 40 years. And you're thinking, why not? Why am I not in ecstasy? You will get the same thing as that washerman. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he gave special mercy in his physical presence of instant love. Just one drop of offering of faith and ecstatic love of God in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, you go back to Godhead. He played with that puppy dog for just a few minutes and sent him back to Goloka. He's giving us the same exact benediction. But we have to show our sincerity through the practice of sadhana bhakti, through developing a proper service attitude and taking shelter of hearing and chanting his glories. So similarly, if you offend a Vaishnav, just because you don't have leprosy the next day, it doesn't mean you're not going to get something. It's all going to come. The same extent of reaction will come in due course of time. So Gopal Chapala, here he is, years past, and he's just weeping 24 hours a day in agony. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked by one day, just happened to walk where Gopal Chapala was laying in the sand. And Gopal Chapala fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet and he was weeping and he begged forgiveness again and again and again. He said, please save me, Lord. Please save me. Please deliver me. I'm miserable. I'm suffering. Please. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach the world a good lesson. He looked at Gopal Chapala. He said, because you have offended Srivas, my blessing to you is you will suffer just like this for the next 10 million births. Then he walked away. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Very merciful. Very, very merciful. Now that's exactly what Gopal Chapala needed to hear. He took it really seriously. Because by this time, he had faith in the Vaishnavas. And he had faith in the Lord's protection to the Vaishnavas. Years later, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Gopal Chapala went to Kuliagram. And he begged Lord Chaitanya, please save me. But at that time, he was genuinely humble, genuinely repentant, and actually really honored Srivas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I cannot forgive you. You must go to Srivas. Srivas was always praying for his deliverance. Srivas Thakur never even took offense. But just the fact that he genuinely honored and respected Srivas Thakur and really repented his offense, Lord Chaitanya not only cured his leprosy, but gave him Krishna prema. So it all worked quite well. That's what he needed. Nothing less would have changed his heart. So when someone offends a Vaishnava, we should understand what it means to atone for that offense. It's not just a mechanical thing. It's not just touching someone's feet and saying, I'm sorry, I don't want the offenses, so because I don't want the just in case I made an apparat or anything like that, I want to clear myself, so you know, here's give me some dust. I'm sorry. But still, I can't tolerate anything you do. Do you think the Lord is going to forgive you? Vaishnava is always forgiven, but will the Lord forgive you? Unless we really give up our envy and appreciate that Vaishnava and are actually from our heart regretful for what we have done and then beg forgiveness and chant the holy names, then the Lord will forgive us. Now, when we're speaking about offenses to Vaishnavas, we're not talking about the little offenses, like touching a Vaishnav with your toe accidentally, or accidentally stepping over him. Or stepping on his shadow. There's many little offenses, ritualistic types of offenses, which show a certain disrespect if we have to be very careful. But we're not going to suffer for those. The offenses we suffer for is when we speak or act in such ways that are expressions of our envy. Or when we really want to cause harm to a person. Those offenses Krishna does not tolerate. Srivas Thakur, his life, his soul, his everything was to bring everyone to Krishna consciousness. He didn't have any enemy. But still, this is what happened. So meanwhile, the townspeople. They were aggrieved because most of them were pious and innocent. And there was nothing they longed to do more than to see Gauranga dance and hear his sweet kirtan. And they used to talk amongst themselves. The reason that the Lord will not allow us in is because of all these blasphemous people who are so envious, who are constantly criticizing his devotees. Because of them, we're not allowed to get in. And when they would say that, sometimes the smarter Brahmins and others, they would hear that and say, "Oh, you are one of them, get them, get them." They'd have to run away. But one day, please listen carefully. This is one of the most significant, essential episodes in human history. Hare Krishna. Ready? Thank you. Crowds of town people from Navadvip, who were so pious, who had such deep faith in Lord Chaitanya, they only wanted to please him. They were thinking, we have no qualification to be in his kirtan because of our fallen sinful condition. But if we can just do something to serve him, to please him, maybe he will bestow mercy upon us. That will be our only qualification. One morning, they all came to Lord Chaitanya's house with beautiful gifts, offerings of love. Some brought flower garlands that they personally picked, and with much devotion, they strung them into beautiful malas. Others brought spices, sweets, coconuts, very lovely silks. And with tears of affection in their eyes, one by one, they all presented them to Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada explains, Krishna does not see the thing we offer. Krishna accepts the intent, the purpose in which everything is offered. And the Lord is in our heart. We may be offering something outside, but he's accepting it inside. When we offer to the deity, the Paramatma and the deity are one and the same. Krishna's seeing from outside and seeing from inside, the core of your heart. Because these people were so sincere and so simple, the Lord was pleased with them. He blessed them. He gathered them all around and he said, "Please listen. Today I am going to give you the treasure of all treasures. Listen to my instructions and your life will be perfect. Krishna is the Lord of Lords. He is the life of everyone's heart. With great happiness in everything you do, serve Krishna. Remember Krishna and try to please Krishna. And the best way to please Krishna is to chant his holy names." Please, O citizens of Navadvip, happily hear the Maha Mantra of Lord Krishna, the 16-word, 32-syllable mantra. Chant it always. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly and personally gave all of them the
the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
You should chant this mantra regularly. There are no hard and fast rules in all circumstances, in all places. Chant this mantra. When you are alone, you do japa of this mantra. When you're with your family, with your husbands, your wives, your children, your mothers, your fathers, everyone, your friends, gather together, clap your hands, and chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Whether you're walking down the street, whether you're eating, whether you're sleeping, whether you're working, in all circumstances, there are no hard and fast rules. Just always remember Krishna by chanting his holy names, and you will become my life and soul. And he said, I'm going to give you another song to sing.
Hariharaye namo Krishna Yadavaya namah. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana, Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama, Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana, Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In the purport here, Srila Prabhupada tells that in our international center of Sridham Mayapur, our managers and leadership should make sure that 24 hours a day there is the chanting of these three mantras. The Hare Krishna mantra, this nice song, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, and the Panchatattva mantra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. He said it should be chanted in such a way that nobody hears anything else. Medieval. And it should be done so sweetly that it attracts the hearts of people from all over the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction, and the people of Navadvip felt supremely blessed. They were all initiated by Lord Chaitanya in that sense. And soon, all the villages in all the nine islands of Navadvip, nothing could be heard except the chanting of Maha Mantra. People were chanting when they walked down the streets. Even instruments they had for worshiping goddess Durga, they used that to do kirtan. There were karatals, there were mardangas, there were conch shells blowing, all in all directions. People were blissful. Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga, Gauranga has given us the mantras. The town was in bliss.
But one day, the Chan Kazi was walking to
to the streets.
Do you all know what a kazi is? Srila Prabhupada explains that under the Mughal rule, there was the zamindars. They were landholders. They controlled, under the government, the citizens by levying taxes on people and giving them to the king and taking some percentage themselves. So they were in charge of property matters. And the Qazi, he was in charge of maintaining law and order under the Mughal king. Now the particular Qazi that was in charge of this area of Navadweep was a very powerful scholar. He was the guru of the king of Bengal, the Nawab Hussein Shah, the spiritual master. And he hated Hindus. He was walking down the street. First he started hearing kartals. What is this? Then he heard mardangas. What is this? Then he heard conch shells. What's going on? He listened carefully. He came closer. And he heard in all directions, in all the shops, in all the homes, everywhere was the loud chanting of the Maha Mantra. He burned with fury. Now, meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was encouraging everyone so nicely. He would walk through the streets. And when Lord Chaitanya, anybody that he heard chanting Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, he would bow down at their feet. He would embrace them. He would decorate their bodies with garlands. He would put straw in his teeth as an act of humility and gratitude, and with folded hands and tears in his eyes, thank them because you are taking the name of Krishna. You are my life and soul. That is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocated with those who chanted his holy names. But Chan Qazi, he could not tolerate. He heard this chanting. He screamed like a lion. Stop this at once! The public demonstration of any Hindu ritual is outlawed by our law. What's happening here? For so many years, generations, there has never been a violation of our laws. The Hindus with their vain rituals, they quietly do it somewhere secretly. Who has caused this? Who has influenced you with this audacity to be chanting these Hindu names loudly? He called out to his soldiers, who were dacoits, touch them, beat them. Anyone who is caught chanting these Hindu names in public will be beaten. All of their property will be confiscated, and they will be imprisoned. That is the law. He saw some people playing a mardanga. Chan Qazi, outraged, he grabbed the mardanga, lifted it above his head, and smashed it to the ground. And declared, it is the law. You will be beaten and punished. He had 1,000 criminal minded soldiers combing through the streets of Navadweep and all the villages, searching for anyone chanting the Hindu names of God, to thrash them, whip them, and torture them, and plunder them. This was scary. Now please, as you're listening to the story, put yourself in the position of those devotees. Srila Prabhupada writes that even in our Hare Krishna movement, we see that this is happening to different levels. In Australia, in London, in America, in Europe. He said our devotees are being arrested, sometimes even beaten, by the government. Why? Because they're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in public. But Srila Prabhupada wasn't disheartened. He was ecstatic. He said, this is the evidence that our movement is authorized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we did not have this divine power, nobody would take it so seriously to punish us for it. And later on, in places like the former Soviet Union, devotees were beaten. Devotees were tortured. Devotees were killed. For what? Chanting Hare Krishna and trying to distribute transcendental literature. It is historical. The devotees, they were very much disturbed. All the townspeople, they couldn't not follow Lord Chaitanya's instruction to chant loudly everywhere, but they couldn't do it either. So they approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they said, we're being beaten. We're being plundered. There's 1,000 soldiers in the streets hunting for us. Lord Chaitanya said, Krishna will protect you. Just carry on. But when he saw that they were really, really aggrieved, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became as angry as death personified. When he heard they were beating the devotees, they were breaking the murdangas, he took the mood of Lord Shiva at the time of universal devastation. The Lord lifted his arms and he cried out, Nityananda, hear what I say with rapt attention. Go to the homes of all the Vaishnavas with this message. Today, I will do kirtan throughout all of Navadweep. I will see what they do to me. Today, I will set the house of Kasi on fire. What will the king do to me? I will see. I will see. Today, I will bring down a torrential rainstorm of pure devotional service and ecstatic love for Krishna. Today, time personified will stand before the blasphemers. O people of Nadia, everywhere, bring my order. Anyone who wants to see the secret of Krishna, come to my home this evening with a torch. This evening, I will lead the procession of Harinam Sankirtan to the door of Chankasi, and I will chant and dance at his doorstep. And if he tries to stop us, I will smash his house to pieces. In all the universes, everyone is the servant of the servants of my servants. You have nothing to fear when I am present. Give up all fear within your hearts. Go home. Eat your lunch. Come back this afternoon with your torch. And I will lead the Nam Sankirtan throughout Navadvip. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. His words alleviated all their fear. This is the power of the Lord. Innocent people. Thousands of armed soldiers ready to attack them and plunder them. But they were blissful. When the Lord invokes fearlessness within a person's heart, no obstacle can restrain them. Bajahure mana srinanda nandana abhayat sharanaravindare Dulabha manava janama satsange taraha ebhavo sindare. Srila Prabhupada taught us this song. My Lord, just take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Nandanandana Krishna. Worship him. For in doing so, you become fearless. Fear is the predominating suffering of this world. But when we worship Krishna sincerely, he invokes fearlessness within our heart. And then we can overcome all obstacles within this world. The people of Navadvip were ecstatic. It didn't matter what happened. It spread in all directions. Today, Nimai Pandit is going to come out from the house of Srivas Thakur and he's going to dance publicly in the streets. What we have been praying for, what we have been longing for, what we have been doing our pujas for, it's going to be fulfilled. We're going to see the beautiful dance of Gauranga. And we're going to hear him chant. The one instruction they didn't follow was to take their lunch. They totally forgot that instruction of the Lord to take the lunch. They all started making torches. Everywhere there was torch making going on. Fathers were making big torches. Little children were making big torches. Wives were making torches. Mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and everybody was making torches. It was millions and millions of torches being made. Some people were so enthusiastic. Individuals were making thousands of torches. And there was barrels and barrels, thousands and thousands and thousands of barrels of oils. And Hare Krishna. They were see the potency of this dog. I've been trying to make you laugh all night and he just, and everybody's laughing, so nice. He has humbled me very nicely, thank you. So many torches being made by the millions and the millions. Big, big torches, pieces of wood, and they'd wrap cloth around it, and then they'd dip it in oil and dip it in oil. In the afternoon, millions of people gathered in front of Lord Chaitanya's house, each one carrying torches. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. Everyone, their eyes gazing upon his beautiful golden form, waiting to see his dance.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed how the kirtan would be performed. Would you like to hear? I was hoping you would like to. He said, Advaitacharya, you be in front and you lead kirtan, lead dancing. And the second kirtan party will be Haridas Thakur. And the third kirtan party will be Srivas Thakur. And I will be in the rear kirtan party. And he looked at Nityananda Prabhu and said, where will you be? And Nityananda Prabhu cried and he said, Lord, I cannot be separated from you. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, Nityananda Prabhu will be on my right side and Gadadhar Pandit will be on my left side. And we will perform Nam Sankirtan through every street of every village, of every bathing ghat, every marketplace, throughout Navadweep, to the house of Chankazi. They began the kirtan in the courtyard. As the kirtan grew louder and louder and louder, the sun set, the moon rose. As soon as it became dark, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu roared like a lion as an indication to light the torches. Instantly, millions of torches were lit. It lit up the entire sky. It was like a sunny summer afternoon. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced. The kirtan went through the streets of Navadweep. Everyone's eyes were fixed only on the beautiful form of the Lord. He was very tall, 4 cubits in height. And he danced in such a way everyone of millions of people could see him. That is his own power. And what did they see? His form, with a complexion like molten gold, resplendent. His eyebrows were like the bows of Cupid, which extended all the way practically to his ears. His lotus-like eyes, like fully bloomed lotus petals, extended almost to his ears. And as he was chanting, in ecstatic love, there were torrential rivers like the Ganges pouring from his lotus-like eyes. It was the most beautiful sight anyone has ever seen. Constant streams of tears were flowing over his nose, which was like a beautiful sesame flower. His lips were bright red. His pearly white teeth were shining like suns. His face had the countenance of the full moon. And his silken black hair, cascading, curling around his face and onto his shoulders, totally captivated everyone's heart of hearts. His neck was like a lion's. His shoulders, like those of an elephant. His chest was wide, his waist was thin. In his beautiful blackish hair, there were garlands, or let us say there were threads of sweet, fragrant malati flowers. He had lovely dhoti that was folded beautifully in 3 places. There was a garland of forest flowers that extended below his knees, and it was swaying back and forth and back and forth as he danced. Whoever saw the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya dancing his arms, which extended below his knees, raised high above him. But Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat says, and Lochan Das Thakur says the same thing, that when the devotees dance in kirtan, their feet sanctify the entire earth when they dance. And their glances, while they're doing kirtan, their glances sanctify all the four directions. And when they raise their arms and chant the holy names, the energy of the holy name, like antennas from their arms, sanctify all the higher planets. Everyone was loudly chanting, seeing the beautiful form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was in so much love. His hairs were standing on end. His teeth were chattering. His limbs were trembling. Sometimes he would turn different colors. At other times, he would be light, like a swab of cotton. And then suddenly, he'd put his foot down and the entire earth would tilt. He became heavier than the earth itself. He would leap up into the air. And Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita, Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Prabhu were there to try to catch him. Sometimes he would fall unconscious. The desires of all the people of Navadvipa were fulfilled beyond any of their expectations. Everyone attained ecstatic love of God that day just by seeing the dance of Lord Gauranga. He was in so much ecstasy. At times he manifested the form of Krishna and everyone could see him. His body became blue like a monsoon cloud. And with his hands, a flute appeared, and he played that flute. The devotees, everybody, they were going mad. Everyone wanted to welcome the Lord. Every single house, they decorated the front of their homes with auspicious items to welcome a great soul. Every house, there were bananas, banana trees. And there was burning ghee lamps. And there was yogurt and rice strewn. It was so beautiful. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leading the kirtan, more and more people were coming out just by hearing the beautiful sound filling the four directions and all the devotees dancing and singing. Everyone just left their house. Fathers forgot that they had wives and children. Wives forgot that they had husbands and children. Children forgot that they had brothers, sisters, and mothers, and fathers, and grandfathers, and grandmothers, and aunts and uncles, and everybody else. Everybody just ran out. Their only fixed thought was to join the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The thieves, they thought, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Everyone left their houses. Nobody closed their doors. We can plunder and steal from every house in Navadvipa with no impediment. They were really enthusiastic. They ran to the houses to rob them. But on the way, they saw Lord Chaitanya dancing. The holy names entered into their ears and conquered their hearts. And suddenly, they forgot they were thieves. All they could do is join the devotees, raise their arms, and loudly cry out the holy name. As they were dancing through the streets, the demigods, they had never seen such a festival of ecstatic love.
Nothing like this had ever been manifest within creation. The demigods, first of all, from the heavenly planets, they showered billions and billions and billions of flower petals. Can you imagine this kirtan? From the sky, tons, like it was like Pushyabhishek all over Navadvip. Just flower petals pouring down. All the streets were paved with flower petals so that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet would not feel any inconvenience. And Lord Chaitanya in his ecstasy would sometimes chant so loudly, like the roaring of 10 million lions. It would have broken everyone's eardrums to pieces, but by his yogamaya potency, he protected everyone's eardrums. Everyone gazed at the Lords. Another miracle that took place. People were so engrossed in this Nam Sankirtan that everybody assumed forearm forms of the residents of Vaikuntha. But everyone forgot that they were the bodies and forgot that everyone else was their bodies, so nobody even noticed. In loving the Lord, everyone fell in love with each other. Devotees were embracing. Devotees were falling at each other's feet. Some of the townspeople were taking their hair and tying it to other devotees' feet. They were mad. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the kirtan through the marketplaces, and he came to the banks of the Ganga, to the Mahaprabhu Ghat, Lord Chaitanya's bathing ghat. He went to Madhai Ghat, to Barakona Ghat, to Nagariya Ghat, then to Ganga Nagar, and finally, after all night of covering all directions, they came to the village of the Chand Kazi. Now the devotees and the townspeople were really, really in an ecstatic mood. As they approached his house, many were screaming out, "Kill the Kazi, burn his house down, destroy the blasphemers. Where are they?" Meanwhile, the envious people, they couldn't tolerate what they were seeing. What are these people? They're crazy. This Nimai Pandit has become so mad. Now he's leading everybody, violating all the Vedic principles, chanting the names of the Lord publicly. But just see, these people are all cowards. We'll tell the Kazi. The Kazi will send their soldiers, and these people, as soon as they see the soldiers of the Kazi, they will go running away and jumping in the Ganges like scared cowards. And we will tie them up and make sure that they're punished appropriately. Hare Krishna. They came closer to the house. Kazi could hear this unbelievable roar coming closer and closer. To his assistants, he said, "What is that? What is that? Some sort of Hindu marriage? Go out and see." They went out to see. They came running back. They said, "Kaziji, you're not going to believe what's out there. There are millions of people all being led by this Nimai Pandit. And they're all screaming, 'Kill the Kazi,
burn his house, destroy the blasphemers.
Chand Kazi said, Nimai Pandit, he must just be on some marriage profession or procession, or maybe there's some sort of strange Durga Puja going on. Don't worry about it. Who could harm me? But then the kirtan came closer. It was deafening. The sound of millions of people crying out the Maha Mantra. Suddenly, Chand Kazi saw all his fearless soldiers just scattering in all directions and hiding. And what did the Chand Kazi do? He ran upstairs and hid, hoping and praying to Allah that he would not be discovered. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates came to the house, and the townspeople, first of all, they tore down all the boundary walls of Chand Kazi's house. Then they got into his garden and they uprooted every plant, every tree. There wasn't a single leaf or petal left in his garden. Then they approached his house and started knocking down the walls. And Chand Kazi was hiding somewhere, trembling like a leaf. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried out, "Destroy his house! Burn it down!" And the devotees fell at his feet and said, "My Lord, you know, this is the things that Lord Shiva and your partial expansions are supposed to do." You're the Lord of love. And the Lord said, "Yes, yes, correct." The devotees reminded him. He was so angry that this Chand Kazi broke mridangas and was beating devotees. Then the Lord became calm. And he went to the door of Chand Kazi. A messenger came. Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "I want to meet the Kazi." The Kazi came down. The Lord asked him, "I am a guest at your house. What type of hospitality is this? I come to your door, you don't even welcome me?" The Kazi said, "Well, you came in a very angry mood. And I could not face you in this angry mood. But now you seem very peaceful. But can I say something? That in our village, your maternal grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti, I was from the same village as him. I grew up as a child. I called him Kaka, uncle." Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that this is the way it was. Even 50, 60 years ago, from the time when Prabhupada wrote his purport, the Hindus and Muslims, they lived together very, very peacefully. They were very friendly. They were like family members. There was really no problem. It was only political people who polluted the relationships. Otherwise, there's one God, just different ways of worshiping him. There was no problems. But politicians try to divide and conquer, create fanaticism. That is the problem. Kazi said that in our village, everyone was aunts and uncles. So since your grandfather was my uncle. That means I'm your uncle and you're my nephew. And even if the nephew becomes angry with the uncle doesn't take it very seriously. And even if the uncle does something very, very bad, the nephew forgives him. Because of their intimate connection. So please forgive me. I was told that they call you Gaur Hari. May I please call you Gaur Hari? Lord Gauranga said, can I ask you a question? He said, please, any question, ask any question. He said, you're drinking the milk of cow. And the bull is tilling your fields to give you grains. Therefore, the cow is your mother and the bull is your father. Why do you eat the meat and drink the blood of your mother and father? What kind of religious principle is this? Now, John Kazi was a great scholar. He said, what you're saying is true. But, you see, according to the Holy Quran, there are two paths of religion, Pravriti Marg and Nivriti Marg. One to pursue higher material enjoyment, and one to pursue transcendental realization. On the path to material enjoyment, under certain regulative restrictions, it is allowed that such animals could be killed. But those who follow my faith for transcendental realization, it is forbidden. But even in your Vedas and Puranas, I have read, there are Gomeda sacrifices, Ashwamedha sacrifices where cow is killed. So why are you criticizing? Lord Chaitanya said, according to the Vedas, the sacrifice of a cow is only permitted if the Brahmins performing that sacrifice are so qualified that they could instantly, before everybody's eyes, bring that cow back to life. They take an old, useless animal, do the yajna, and to show the power of the mantras, they bring the cow back to have a youthful, healthy body. But if the Brahmin priest cannot bring the cow back to life, then it is the most miserable sin of killing a cow. And one has to suffer in hell for every hair on the body of the cow. John Kazi said, what you're saying is true. Actually, our scripture was written recently according to time, place, and circumstance. And oftentimes, it is not based on very high principles of logic and philosophy. But because I am a follower, I must adhere myself to these regulative principles. But what you are saying in regard to killing cows is true. Then Lord Chaitanya said, I have another question for you. For so many days, you were beating our devotees, plundering our devotees, harassing our devotees for Nam Sankirtan. Why tonight you didn't do anything? Why nobody came to beat us or arrest us? John Kazi said, I would like to tell you something very confidential, my lord. Gaur Hari. Can we speak in private? Lord Chaitanya said, no. All of my associates are confidential. Whatever you want to speak to me, they may hear also. He said, let me tell you this. He said, the day I broke that mridanga, that night, something extraordinary happened. I was laying in my bed. I fell asleep. Suddenly, this terrible, angry beast leaped upon my chest. He had the face of a lion, the claws of a lion, and the body of a human being. Half man, half lion. His large teeth were flashing and gnashing. His eyes were red like coals in wrath. He roared, just as you broke that mridanga, I will tear you to pieces. Then with his sharp nails, he dug them into my chest and ripped. His eyes, glowing with anger, screamed out, Kazi, because you have hurt my devotees, I will destroy you. I will tear you into small pieces. You are finished on this very night because you have offended my devotees and you have tried to stop the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Kazi said, I lay under him helplessly, trembling in fear. And then that beast, he said, Kazi, because you have not done such bad offense, I will let you live. But if ever again you impede the Sankirtan of the holy name, I will return to destroy you, destroy your family, and destroy the entire race of meat eaters. Chan Kazi then opened up his upper cloth and showed Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees the nail marks of Lord Narasingha Dev scratched across his chest. And then he went on. He said, I sent some people to stop the Sankirtan.
It's a very special spirit soul. It's offering obeisances to Swami Krishi. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he used to feed rasgullas to the dogs of Navadvip.
He would praise them. Such special spirit souls. So the Chankazi sent soldiers out to stop the Sankirtan. And he said, these soldiers came running back to me. They said, as soon as we came near them and we heard their chanting, immediately our beards set on fire. We couldn't put it out. It was just blazing fire. It scorched our faces and our cheeks. Just look, Chankazi, look. Don't send us out there again. Chankazi said, at that time I became very worried. And then some other soldiers came back. And they told me that we went out to try to stop them. But all we could hear in all directions was the names of Krishna. Hari, Hari. They're just chanting Hari, Hari. Hari, Hari. And Kazi. Hari, Hari. All we can, Hari, Hari. All we can do is Hari, Hari. We can't say anything but Hari, Hari. Hari, Hari. Hari, Hari. Hari, Hari. Said my Gaur Hari. All they could do is say Hari, Hari. And then some of these ritualistic Brahmins came to me, really angry. This Nimai Pandit is spoiling our Hindu religion. You are the government head. It is your duty to protect everyone. You must protect our religion. These are secret mantras that are meant exclusively to be chanted within our hearts. Do you know what they're doing? By chanting the names of our Hindu gods loudly, all the power of the names of God will be diminished and our religion will be finished. You must stop them. I was thinking at that time about the burning beards, about Hari Hari. So I said, just be patient. I will stop them. I will stop them. Just go home now. Chankazi then said, O Gaur Hari, in your Vedic scriptures, the Supreme Lord is known as Narayan. Today, I know for sure that you are that Lord Narayan. You are the God of all living entities. You are the Supreme Person who is worshipped in all the religions. And I bow my head and surrender at your lotus feet. Lord Gauranga, very humbly, he said, I have one request I want to ask of you. Never again obstruct the congregational chanting of my holy names. Chankazi made a promise, a vow. He said, in my life and in the life of all my descendants, I take this vow that no one will ever in any way obstruct the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Chankazi with Prema Bhakti. Taking leave, he went outside and joined all the devotees in Nam Sankirtan, and Chankazi came to join. But Lord Chaitanya, understanding his position, requested him to go home. But he accepted him as his own devotee. This is very relevant. Srila Prabhupada explains how Mahatma Gandhi, he was instrumental in freeing India of the power of the British government through civil disobedience. but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the founder of the civil disobedience movement. Without even the slightest bit of violence to any living being, they proved their point and gained their freedom. He said, this is our Hare Krishna movement. He said, it's not our object to cause harm, physical harm to anyone. But through philosophy, through logic, and through the purity of our purpose, we will overcome all obstacles. Now in Krishna's Leela, Chankazi was Kamsa. Today we went to Chankazi's Samadhi. That area in Navadvip is none different than Mathura, the home of Kamsa. In Krishna Leela, when Krishna went to Mathura, he liberated Kamsa with a nice punch in his chest. Several punches, actually. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Prabhupada explains, is supremely merciful. The difference between Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, Krishna liberated Kamsa by ending his life and liberating his soul. Lord Chaitanya transformed Kamsa's heart to become a pure, unalloyed devotee through the chanting of the holy name and through his mercy. Because Chankazi was sometimes as an intimate name called Champak, at his samadhi they planted a champak tree. And just near it is a neem tree representing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the intimate loving relationship. Because Kamsa was also Krishna's uncle. Chankazi said to Lord Chaitanya, I'm your uncle. But he became his loving devotee. That is Mahaprabhu's supreme mercy. Tava avatara tara siromani kevala ananda kanda. Lochandas Thakur tells of Lord Chaitanya, you are the essence of all incarnations. And the process you're giving is so joyful. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Shall I continue? After delivering the Chankazi and making him into a prema bhakti, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Kirtan party carried on. They performed their chanting and dancing through several other villages. And then they came to Simantadweep. Lord Chaitanya brought the Kirtan party to the house of Kolavecha Sridhar. And now we will begin tonight's class. We have concluded the introduction. Kolavecha Sridhar's house was one beaten up tiny little room. That's all. It was just a thatched hut of one room. And he had no furniture. There's no record that he even had a change of clothes. Very simple, very poor person. The only piece of furniture he had was just at the doorway of his house, he kept a very old, beaten-up iron cup that he would use for cleaning, he would use for drinking, contain water.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing right to the house of Kulavecha Sridhar.
He looked at that iron cup.
Vrindavan Das Thakur said that cup had so many dents and so many scratches. It was so beaten and so old. Even a desperate thief would not even place his glance on that cup. It was absolutely worthless materially. But to Lord Chaitanya, that cup, that beaten iron pot, was more valuable than all the wealth in Brahma's universal creation. Why? Because it contained the water that was drunk by Kulavecha Sridhar. Lord Chaitanya went right up to that old iron cup and picked it up, drank from it. Sridhar was absolutely devastated. He fell to the ground, trembling, crying out, "Now I am dead. Now I am finished. I clean my body with that. I drink from that. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the husband of Goddess of Fort Lakshmi, has drunk that water from my own mouth? I'm dead." He fell unconscious. Upon tasting the sweet nectar of that ordinary water, by material calculation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wept torrential tears of ecstasy. His limbs trembled and his hair stood on end. And he cried out with deep emotion that today, for the first time in my life, I have tasted pure devotional service. Today I have realized true love for Krishna because I have been blessed by the water drunk by Kulavecha Sridhar. Because the Lord was such an emotional state when he said those words, the devotees could not control themselves. How the Lord is conquered by even the simplest offering of love of his devotee. Advaitacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Haridas Thakur, Vakreshwar Pandit, Chandrasekhar Acharya, Budhimanta Khan, Srivas Thakur, Sri Ram, Sri Pati, Sri Nidhi, Murari Gupta, Gangadas Pandit, Gopinath Acharya, Sri Garba, Sriman Pandit, all these devotees and more, seeing the Lord's love for Kulavecha Sridhar, they could not control themselves. They were rolling on the ground weeping. The Supreme Personality of Godhead will not even look in the direction of a vessel that is solid gold, embedded with rubies, emeralds, diamonds, or even the jewels of the heavenly planets, if it is in the pot of one who does not have sincere devotion. But this poor little banana seller, Kulavecha Sridhar, his beaten up old iron pot with just apparently ordinary well water that he personally had washed himself with and drunk, to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that water tasted sweeter than any heavenly nectar. And that pot was more precious than all the wealth in creation.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, years before, he predicted to Kulavecha Sridhar, someday I am going to expose the great treasure that you are hiding from the world. And on this night, after the deliverance of Chankazi, on the occasion of the first Harinam Sankirtan procession in the history of Lord Chaitanya's movement, he revealed the supreme treasure of Sridhar, the treasure of his pure, unalloyed, devotional service. Very interesting. Because if someone has devotion when they offer the Lord bhoga, the Lord accepts it. If someone doesn't have devotion, even if they make, even if they have all the rituals perfectly well, the mantras, the tantras, the yantras, the mudras, and the pudras, and everything else, the Lord doesn't care. He only accepts devotion. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. But if someone sincerely loves the Lord doesn't even, he's so eager to taste the offering of that devotee, he can't even wait until he offers it. He just steals it. Vrindavan Das Thakur said that's what happened with Sudama Vipra in Dwarka. Because of his love, he didn't offer anything to the Lord. The Lord stole it. He was hungry for it. See, like that. Not like that, but... The Lord, he's conquered by his devotees. He's starving for the love of his devotees. Even without offering, he steals, Hari, he steals the love of his devotees. That is the Lord's eternal nature. Through this beautiful pastime of Kulavecha Sridhar, the Lord revealed the essence of life. It is a simple story. Many of us heard it so many times. But it's everything. Because of our conditionings, our tendency is to get caught up with so many superficialities and think that that is what spiritual advancement is about. Yes, we should try to learn many slokas so that we can use them in a spirit of devotion. But learning 100,000 slokas doesn't mean you're making any spiritual advancement. Position. Sometimes we think I'm making progress if I have the position of a temple commander or a head pujari or a temple president or a GBC or a guru. Shiksha guru, diksha guru. Or I'm making progress if I could remain a staunch brahmachari. Or I will make progress if I can be a very honorable householder and do all my mantras, tantras, yantras, mudras, and pudras. And give nice donations. Or I'm making progress if I have hundreds of followers, or thousands of followers, or tens and thousands, or hundreds and thousands of followers. And have my own television station, and millions of people are watching and listening to my every word and sending donations. According to this story, none of that necessarily has anything to do with spiritual advancement. It could, if if it's built on the foundation of humble, simple, pure devotion. Krishna, Hari, Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari, Hari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hari, Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari, Hari. Where was I? Krishna is only pleased by our devotion. We want to cultivate that devotion in our hearts. But in order to do so, we must be very, very careful not to be distracted by these material temptations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the bhakti lata bij, it is like a seed, and one must be like a careful gardener. One must pour the water on the seed, the water of hearing and chanting the names and glories of the Lord, the water of service to the Lord and his devotees. And if one's heart is humble and simple, it's like a fertilized soil. That is necessary for the hearing and chanting to make the small creeper grow. But along with it, as you're watering the bhakti lata bija, many material weeds will grow. And what are those weeds? Pratishtha. The desire for adoration and distinction, prestige. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we should see the pleasure of prestige to be as abominable as the dung of a boar. No, I don't want to bore you by going into any details. But you can understand how abominable it is to a great soul. Attachment to position, and all kinds of attachments to material facilities that we can enjoy will inevitably come to us as a test as we're making spiritual progress. We have to be fixed on the essence. If we want to achieve the essence, we must be fixed on the essence. And we see sometimes people do get distracted. And then out of Krishna's mercy, he gives you some powerful purification, some terminal illness or something, where you realize everything's gone. What is the use of my prestige? What is the use of my facilities? What is the use of the sense gratification I'm getting? It's all. And then if we're sincere, we just shun it all and just take shelter of the essence. But why do we have to go through that? We should cultivate the essence now. The essence of what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us through this incident with Kolavecha Sridhar, that he is conquered only by one thing, the humble, simple love of the heart, our intent to please him, to please his devotees. We should not want anything but that. And everything Krishna gives us should only be used for that purpose. Another very wonderful lesson of this story is how obstacles are our friends. When the lights went out, I heard the most serious chanting of the whole night. Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya did not begin his Harinam Sankirtan movement until there was a major disaster. Very, very significant. Why didn't he just go out on a regular day and just say, okay, devotees, let's go out of the house onto the streets? No. He told the devotees, he told the townspeople, you chant. But he did not go out with any of his Vaishnava devotees until people were being beaten, people were being imprisoned, people were being persecuted, people were being plundered. And it was against all odds, against the entire government and all the powers of the government. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show us when there is opposition, when there is obstacles in our spiritual life, that is the time we can access the highest mercy if we have faith and take shelter of the Lord, his devotees, and his holy names. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. May I tell one more story? One night in Srivas's house, shortly after this incident, they were performing Nam Sankirtan, and Srivas heard crying in one of the back rooms. He went back and found that his son, who had a disease and a high fever, had died. The ladies of the house and others who were back there, they were weeping. They were inconsolable. Their child was dead. Srivas was very grave. He said, "Don't you understand how fortunate this child is? The Supreme Lord of the Universe, Lord Gauranga, is in our house dancing in ecstasy, performing Nam Sankirtan in the presence of all the greatest of Vaishnavas. They're all chanting. In this setting, our child left his body. He will certainly go home back to Godhead. I only wish I had the fortune to die in such a fortunate situation someday." But Lord Chaitanya is in ecstasy dancing. If he finds out that our son has died, it will disturb his happiness. His happiness is my life, my soul, my everything. You should be happy that our child has gone back to Godhead. But if you must cry, do it silently. But if you disturb my Lord's happiness, I will have no recourse but to drown myself in the river Ganges. They were silent. Srivas Thakur went back into the kirtan. When he saw Lord Chaitanya smiling in bliss, dancing in kirtan, Srivas leaped in the air in ecstasy. Hours and hours went by. Little by little, the news of the son's death reached the ears of the different devotees. And they were all lamenting. Lord Chaitanya could sense. Of course, he knows everything. He inquired from Srivas, "I feel something very sad has taken place in your home. What happened, Srivas?" And Srivas smiled and he said, "My Lord, with you dancing in my house, nothing inauspicious could happen, only happiness and joy." Then somebody else said, "My lord, his son died." Lord Chaitanya said, "What? When did this happen?" "Happened many hours ago." The Lord said, "Why didn't anyone tell me?" The devotee said, "Because Srivas did not want to disturb your happiness in Kirtan for even a moment. So he made everyone quiet." When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he did something that stunned everyone. He broke down and wept incessantly and cried out, "Srivas, how much you love me. You love me so much that for my happiness, you're not even willing to lament for the death of your own son?" The Lord cried and cried. And then he said something very mysterious. He said, "Srivas, your love is so pure. Your love is so selfless, unconditional. How could I ever give up your association? What will happen on that day when I have to give up your association? How will I survive?" The devotees were very confused. "What is the Lord saying? What is he talking? What will happen when I give up association?" Because the Lord knew that very soon in the future, for the sake of reaching out to the most fallen souls, he would leave Navadvip to take sannyas. Knowing he was going to do that, he was weeping that night. "How can I give up the association of such a loving devotee as Srivas Thakur?" The Lord then led everyone into the room where the child was laying lifeless. And to everyone's great amazement, Sri Gauranga spoke to the dead corpse, said, "My child, please tell me, why did you leave your father's home?" Before everyone's eyes, the little boy sat up and spoke. By Lord Chaitanya's power, he raised the child from the dead. The boy said, "Oh my Lord, you are my master and I am your eternal servant. You are the supreme controller and I am like a puppet that must act according to the destiny that you have given me. For many days I have had the good fortune of living in the house of Srivas and being in the association of you and all of these great Vaishnavas. But now, according to my karma, my allotted time to live here has expired and I must leave to go into another body. My only prayer, my Lord, is wherever you may send me, please allow me to always remember you. Allow me to always remember you and be your devotee. Who is my father? Who is my mother? You are my eternal father and mother. Now, with your permission, according to your desire, I will depart." Lord Chaitanya gave his blessing. The child lay down again and became lifeless. But at this point, everyone was happy, full of joy. They understood that this child had been delivered, that we're not this body, we're the eternal soul. And for a devotee, the soul will go wherever the Lord has his sweet will for that soul to go. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally led the procession for the last rites of that child at the river Ganges. Then they all took their bath in the Ganges and came back to Srivast Thakur's house to perform kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya spoke then his eternal words. He said, Srivast, because of your love for me, you may have lost one son, but today I give you my word that Nityananda Prabhu and myself will be your eternal sons. And all the relatives and all the people assembled fell at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and they cried, you are our mother, you are our eternal father, you are our eternal friend, you are our eternal guide, you are everything to us. May we always remember your lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya taught us how we can always remember him. The most powerful and simple of all methods in the association of his devotees. To hear his teachings, to hear his pastimes, to hear his glories. To speak them. And to give up all envy. And in the mood of a genuine servant, of the servant, of the servant, to be a real well-wisher of the Vaishnavas, come together to dance and to chant the holy name. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved founder Acharya and spiritual master, has given us entrance into the eternal pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not something distant that we can hope to achieve in a future life. Srila Prabhupada taught us for real that when we are assisting in Lord Chaitanya's mission by propagating Krishna consciousness in this world, and we are sincerely chanting the holy names and living by his teachings, even today, we are personal associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and we are participating in his eternal transcendental pastimes. As we purify ourselves through this process, we gradually realize the supreme fortune we have had since the day we came to the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada said, you're already liberated if you're following these teachings. But as you become purified, you realize your liberated state. We realize how Srila Prabhupada, by his infinite mercy, has brought us all into these eternal, loving pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What to speak of participating in these pastimes in his eternal realm of Sri Navadvip Dham. On this day, let us bow our heads at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who by His selfless compassion has given us the ultimate treasure, the ultimate goal, and the ultimate aspiration. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And then you can all very gracefully run to the temple to offer the lamps of your love to Sri Sri Radha Madhava, Narasingha Dev, Panchatattva, and Srila Prabhupada.